I even say your name right sometimes, you know.
I was saying this morning, Brother Rogers teaches on the book of, I mean on the book of Matthew, mm-hmm. Mary or whatever, and it kind of stuck me when he back to the book of Genesis, when you came up to your, I mean you leave your father and mother, mm-hmm. okay, but he went to the book of Genesis and talks about there where, well, how would when
Adam,
he made Adam and Eve, right? Okay, where does she leave from?
She came from, well, first of all.
I mean,
he said rib.
I understand that he didn't use the word rib, but what I'm trying to say, how would she leave from her father and her mother?
How did he leave from his father and his mother?
No, I'm not talking about Adam. I'm talking about
Eve. But listen to what Adam said. Remember what Adam said there? He says, this is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, blood of my blood, and from this point on, a man and a woman, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. What was that? That was prophecy. Prophecy. His children would do that. He did not do it. He was created by God. And if you go back to the book of Matthew, you'll find out that God... Matthew and Luke gives you the two, but it goes back to Adam there. That Adam was the father of God.
Yeah.
Well, and in all reality, he did leave his father, didn't he?
Yeah.
And cleave unto his wife, because when she sinned, he cleaved unto her instead of God, didn't he? All right. Now look, now we talked about God making man a primary creation of God, and woman was a secondary creation of God, because she was taken from man. The word woman means from man. All right. It's beautiful when you go back to the basics of the Bible and you understand that. And God took one being apart. He took Adam and he took from him feminine man. That's what it means, feminine man. He took out feminine man out of man, and then he put them back together in marriage.
Right.
He said they've become two. One became two, and two became one again. All right? In marriage. And that's the way it was. And that's why marriage is so close. It's because two people become one, like Adam was in the garden before God took Eve from him, or woman from him. All right? What does the name Eve mean?
Mother of life.
What?
Mother of life.
All right, mother of life. That was a prophecy also, wasn't it? It was also, not only was it a prophecy, but it was a statement of faith by Adam. Now, God had just told them that they were all going to die. They were going to die and all their children were going to die because of what they had done there, what work they had performed in the Garden of Eden. Didn't he? You're going to die now. Dying, you shall die. And then what did Adam do? He named his wife Living, the mother of all living. All right?
Yeah, because he named everything.
Yeah. Adam named everything, and he named his wife the mother of all living. Mm-hmm. Now, look at it in two ways. First of all, it was a profession of faith. The mother of all living. She was supposed to be the mother of all dying, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
All right? But the promise that God gave Eve, not Adam, what promise did God give Eve when he was talking to the snake?
Oh, that she was going to
have pain in childbirth.
She was going to have pain in childbirth. What happened?
Her seed,
not Adam's seed, her seed would wrestle against the seed of Satan. And her seed would overcome Satan. That Satan would bruise him as to the heel, but he should bruise Satan as to the head. A death-dealing blow. Okay? So, what was that? She was to be the mother of all living. Because the promise would come through her, not through him.
Now, that death-dealing blow to the head, is that in the Hebrew tense? Prophecy?
It's... Hebrew is really an unusual language. It's a language of God. It has completed tenses and incomplete tenses. The future tense is called like a future perfect. Perfect tense, if you're in Greek here, you know what that means. That means a completed action. It's done deal. Okay? But future perfect. Future tense is I shall do this. Now, how would you say that? This Satan, he shall have been dealt a death-dealing blow to the head. Because God can look into the future and tell it as if it's history. It's what you call historic future. Historic future. It's a future tense, all right. But it's a future tense that is completed action. Who asked me that question? Oh, Brother R. It's like it was future, but it's so strong in the fulfillment of it that it's future perfect tense, future completed tense. It's going to happen.
Now, is it the one that's considered the
first
false
promise?
Prophet, the false prophet they killed during the 7-year tribulation? The one they killed during the 7-year tribulation, then he resurrected.
This is something beautiful too. Look over here in the church, the age of grace, the church age. Let's call that the church age. He calls it the age. Well, he calls it the church age in there also. But look in the tribulation period. When the church age ends, who is the deliverer and the administrator of God's kingdom today? His churches. But when that's done and over with, what happens? They're all no longer administrators. When Christ came to his kingdom, when he spoke, especially in the Gospel of Luke, when he spoke about something that was going to happen to Israel, he says, I came to you and would have gathered you under me like a hen does her little chickens, but you would not come. So I cut you off. It was done already. That future perfect. It was done already. But when you come to the tribulation period in the Bible, now God's churches are his administrators in the kingdom, and what are the churches supposed to go? Matthew 28:18-20. As ye are going, therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be doing today, isn't it? Now, if the church went through the tribulation period, why would the necessity of the two witnesses be? There wouldn't be any necessity because the church age wouldn't be over, would it? All right. What about the angels proclaiming the gospel? How about Israel proclaiming the gospel in the middle of it? There in the end of it.
It wouldn't make no sense.
It wouldn't make any sense. Well, we have a contradiction of the scriptures, don't we? Now, have you ever looked at it like that? Do you remember me teaching this years ago? The church age is here. The church has the keys of the kingdom, not Peter. The churches. All right? But when the rapture comes, the tribulation comes on the earth, why is the tribulation period coming on the earth? Why? What?
To judge Israel?
Well, to judge Israel, yes, but it's no more than that. It's bringing Israel back in to punish Israel, to correct Israel, to bring that wavered son back. All right? To bring her back to him. So, because during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, what's Israel going to do on the earth? She's going to glorify God as a nation like she was supposed to have done for all of these other years before she was cut off. Back up to here over in the law age. See that? She was supposed to be glorifying God. She was supposed to be a witness. But was she? Was Israel ever a witness for God? Never was, except for bad. They're going to say, oh, look at the God of Israel. He hates his people because he has brought all of this terrible tribulation upon you. You were carried off into Babylon and into Assyria, and all of the things happened. The Caesars came against you. You were distributed throughout the world, what you call a dispersion. Throughout the world for 2,000 years was the only nation of Israel at all. They had no land or anything else, but God is calling them back. That's why we know. Look in the chart. Now there it says the dispersion of Israel. Ezekiel 36:16-19, if you want to read that. Someone read that for me. Ezekiel 36. You go back to your Old Testament there. Ezekiel 36. 16 through 19. That's one of them Old Testament books, you know. Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19. That's the dispersion of Israel.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as an uncleanness and a lewd woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and their idols wherewith they had poured it out. From verse
19.
Okay. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed in the country according to their ways, according to their doings, I judged them.
All right. They were a witness to the nations right then, because God scattered them. All right. Now look about what God's going to... God always has mercy, doesn't He? Okay, now look at the next part of this thing. God says something and then he doesn't forget His mercy. Now verses 20 through 24. Look at that.
You want that
read? Yeah, the same. Read that one.
When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name. Because it was said of them, these are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of His land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into my own land, into your own land.
That's New American Standard, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a good translation.
Yeah, that's right.
See what it says there? You're going to be scattered. Why is God going to bring Israel back? Why? Why? Why is He going to bring Israel back? Look what it says there in verse 22. It is not for your sake, but for my holy name.
Yeah,
to vindicate me.
Yeah.
To vindicate God. You know, God saves you because He wants to. He wants to do that. For He so loved the whole world that He gave His Son. He wants you to be saved. There's nothing you can do to be saved. There's nothing you can do to keep yourself saved. But you glorify God with your life. That's what you're supposed to do. You glorify God with your life. That's what you're supposed to do. One way or the other you do, don't you, Brother Arnold? You glorify God with your life one way or the other. How did that thing turn out at the end of the day?
Turned out really good.
Yeah. You glorify your life. You glorify God one way or another. Israel glorified God when she was drug out into the nations because God judged this harlot, is what He called her. A harlot. What is a harlot?
A lewd woman.
A what?
A lewd woman.
A lewd woman, that's right.
A prostitute.
Yeah, a prostitute. You know, a woman was given an attraction to man for a reason. Men are attracted to women for a reason. And the reason for that is marriage. That's where it is. That's where it is. A woman is made pretty once in life. And women and men are made pretty once in life. Handsome, you know. And then you go downhill.
Start breaking down.
They start breaking down. But that is so you can attract your partner. That's the reason for it.
But you learn to love and accept what you...
Yes, you learn to love and accept that change and everything. Yeah. You love them more than you did when they were pretty and when they were handsome. You see the inner part of it.
Yeah.
Pretty is as pretty does. That's something too. Pretty is as pretty does.
Yeah.
pretty as
the
spring.
It does. Is there anything in there about the church and that little verses we read? Is there anything referring to the church? No. I mean, how
it jumps completely across the whole church age, doesn't it?
Right. That's a
it doesn't mention the church at all.
Uh-huh.
It is not mentioned. But the church has nothing to do with the tribulation period. It doesn't have anything. She's out of it. Their witnesses come down and testify from heaven. By the way, both of those witnesses are killed and they're both resurrected.
You know who they are?
I don't know. Remember when I told you that so many years ago? I said it could have been John.
Elijah.
It could have been Daniel. Enoch. It could be Elijah. It could be Enoch. And I can give you 100 reasons why it's both of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
I think you taught them that.
Yeah, I said, I don't know. You know, 20 years later, I still don't know.
I'm just checking you, man.
Yeah.
Haven't changed my mind a little bit.
But the death healing blow that's referred to in Genesis is for the Antichrist.
Yes. That is the Antichrist. That's the second death, by the way. That's when he casts, by the way, the Antichrist and Satan. The Antichrist is because he's an embodiment of Satan on this earth acting for him, and he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, isn't he? Even before Satan.
So that death doing blow the feet during the tribulation, right?
Well, that...
Prophecy of that?
Well, no. The death dealing blow is when he's thrown into the...
Death
yeah, if you look in there... See down the end of it? You look at Revelation 12:7-10 and Revelation 27-9. You see where you'll find out that the false prophet and the Antichrist are thrown into the lake of fire. And then later on, you're going to find out that Satan is turned loose on the earth for a short time after the millennial reign of Christ to go out and gather his people together because, you know what? There are lost people in the world even during the millennial reign. They're lost then. That little chart really.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
So that means the people that believe in the end of the week, they should believe it because we just imagine. But you just said the church is everybody believes the end of the week because you said the angels are gonna come in witnesses and you
yes. If the church was here, why wouldn't the church be doing it?
Right.
Because it's her job.
Our job now.
Yeah, it's our job now, but there's going to be a time when it's no longer your job. There's a time when Noah was no longer a witness. When was he no longer a witness? It says, the Lord says that the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. There was marrying and giving in marriage and all this stuff, and all of a sudden, one day, it rained when it never rained before.
Right.
What happened? Noah, for 120 years. 120 years is like the church age. Okay? That's a type of the church age. Okay? The 120 years. Noah built the ark. For the last 2,000 years, the church has been building churches.
Right.
All right? That's what she does. She goes out to the world and builds churches. Brother Morley, I had a church camp with him up there, and he said, we never established a mission in the Solomon Islands or any of those places. All of all churches. God didn't tell you to go out and put missions. He said, go out and put churches out there. Well, it's true. When you get down to it, down to the where the rubber meets the road, that's the way it is.
Don't keep my mission, make churches.
That's my church, and he established churches, not missions. And that's the way it is. There's about 200 churches over there, something like that. Anyway, they're surviving and going on. But there's a time when those churches are going to be raptured, along with all the saved in this earth. And the churches will no longer be here. So, there will be witnesses and there will be angels flying across heaven proclaiming the gospel. There will be saved people on the earth that are saved during the tribulation period that are going to die for the gospel. But we don't find a body of believers on the earth proclaiming the gospel, do we?
No.
Anywhere. Just show it to me. Brother Hubbard used to say, show it to me. Show me where the churches are on the earth in the tribulation. Just show me, he said. You can show where people are dying, where angels are proclaiming, and who's the job of the church today? Matthew 28:18-20. Matthew 16:18, what does that say? For you are Peter, but upon this rock this great big foundation rock, I shall be building my assembly, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her, shall not wrestle her down. And I'll be with you until the end of the age, is what he said in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Right there! Listen to the word. It makes it so simple. But you have people.
Yeah, big churches.
Yes, they do.
I think the First Assemblies do that. They look like they're going to be going to the rapture.
Tribulation. Yeah. Well, so do the Mormons.
Yeah.
7 years.
What happens to all these churches that believe they're going to go to the tribulation?
Well, if they're saved people, if they're saved people, God's going to rapture them in spite of them.
Right.
If they're lost, they're lost. How many people in Baptist churches are saved? How many do you think?
Well, from my understanding, they say they're very small. Not even.
Baptist churches preach more truth than any churches out to the land. That's the Lord, one of the Lord found, you know.
Billy
Graham. So what, 10% of church members are really saved that come forward up there and make a decision? You know, like decision business, I don't know about that. There's more than a decision there. There's repentance involved. There's a fear of God, and there's repentance. Fernando, I saw that fear in you, was going to say. Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
You see that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're supposed to fear and respect God.
Yeah.
You fear Him and respect Him. The word fear and respect in the Bible is the same word, basically. You respect God because you know Him. I had a step-grandfather named Amadeo Lamucci. I've been tracing his roots back a little bit lately. He was a hard man. He was tough. He was like nails. He got killed when he was 78 or 79 years old. He was a better man than I am today. I can guarantee you 10 times the man I am. Not like I was when I was 35 years old, when he was about 78 or 79. Heart of a rock. Tough man. He got in a fight with a man over some water one time and beat him to death with a shovel. Spent some prison time and everything. And he got out of there, and my grandmother and him got together. And when I was a little boy, about 6 or 7 years old, somewhere around there, when my mother and him, when they first got together. So I was around 6 or 7. And I was angry. Because my grandmother had somebody else besides my grandpa. My grandpa had died. He died in 1952-53. And it was sometime after that that my mother and Louie were married. Somewhere around there. Anyway, at first I didn't like Louie. He was an old grump. And I did things, and boy, he got mad at me. One time he threw a shovel at me, like to kill me. He would have killed me if he hit me with a shovel. He was mad at me. I deserved it. But later on, I finally figured out that that was a real good man. Because you know what? I never worried about having shoes on my feet. We were real poor Indians. I never worried about starving because I always had food with Louie. I bought me anything I wanted in the store. I even got fat a little bit during that period of time. Because I had food to eat. I never had food to eat like that before. And then I began to respect him. But before that, I began to fear him. But then I began to love him. And today I have a lot of admiration and love for him because of what he taught me in my life. He was a good, honest man. He taught me honesty and hard work. That's what he taught me. Now that's kind of like God. We know the works that God has worked. We see it in Jesus Christ. We see it in the world. We see it in creation. We see the perfection of his abilities in all the creations of a bug. You know, just look at a bug. They are something else, aren't they? Well, God created them. Everything in you, your children, everything, God created all of the magnificent ability for your body to repair itself and everything. It's something else. The body is self-repairing. I've said a lot of times, what if you could make a car like God made a body? That repairs itself. When you get sick, it sends a little army out to fix whatever's there. Now, and when you get a a splinter stuck in your hand, what does God do? How did he program that situation? Send a bunch of pus there.
Yeah.
And make a big swelling there and put pus all around this foreign object. And so pretty sooner or later, it's just going to squish out of there.
For sure. Yeah.
With all the pus around and everything, it may sound yucky, but that's what it is. That's God's way. And my wife keeps telling my little girl, you know, these little things right here, these little scabs, you know what that is? That's God's Band-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to give you an example of that because I take anti-rejection medication to keep my liver, my body for the fine.
That would be a foreign object. That would be a splinter.
Push it out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Same thing as, like you say, a splinter.
Yes, it does the same way. Your body is fighting to repair itself. A car that would repair itself would be really neat. How about if a car just kept growing tires?
You don't recognize.
Kept growing tired. You know, you could go barefooted. You know, people went barefooted for a long time, unless they go across some real hard stones and stuff. The only time they used to put shoes on. You know what the word shoes is in Greek? It comes from the two words, hipo and dio. That means to tie under. You don't put your shoes on, you put them under your feet. You tie them under your feet. You know, that's what it is, to tie under. Hipo dios. To tie under, underbinders. So you can walk on something that's like you have there on hot rocks or stones or stickers. You know, people run around with their shoes off half the time, and you know, watch your feet just keep growing calluses.
Yeah.
Just keep growing calluses. That's fine. God keeps on sending more shoes for you.
So I can remember when I was barefoot as a kid, I didn't like wearing shoes. We had shoes, I just didn't wear them, right? To run around in the summertime with a flat top.
Uh-huh.
It didn't bother me because I did it for so many years.
Yeah, you had calluses.
How can you do that?
How about that? God's miracles.
Because then I can't even walk out in the backyard. That grass hurts me.
Well, your feet got soft.
We used to have to take cars off so we won't ruin them because we had to for school.
Yeah.
Bears all right. We like to run around barefoot.
Yeah, that's the way I did. I only had shoes for school. One year I didn't even have shoes for school. Had thongs is all. Brother Levine.
I'm just saying, you know, you're talking about fear of God, you know, like, a lot of people, like, the Y2K, they fear more than that than the Lord's return.
Yes.
They didn't even fear God.
Because it's real.
And buy some more. I said, everything with the shovel cleaned out.
Yeah, I mean, tell you what, how about you own the grocery store? They really got made a killing, didn't they?
Yeah.
No, they made a killing.
It was a major store.
Yeah, my wife went to get some water the other day. You know, I wasn't really too worried about it, to tell you the truth. I figured that businesses would have enough sense to do whatever. The one thing that we're worried about is these little utility companies, that they couldn't upgrade their computers. And Gary, my son Gary, came over to the house yesterday. And he said, I went into my son's room. He has an old, out-of-date computer, and I went in there and booted that thing up, and it said January the 1st, 2000. And it wasn't even supposed to be programmed to do it.
Hmm.
He said, oh, this maloney. Well,
I think
there was a fear there.
Just to make money.
But you know what? There is a Y2K coming, a real one. You know what caused the Dark Ages?
Plague and everything.
Uh-huh. You know what caused that? I used to tell that.
Oh, they're not serving God?
Y1K.
I thought
and people get you, and people go like that, you know, get a kick out of that. Y1K, sir.
There was some money to be made, and these men, they've seen it, so they put out all the scares to try
That's
to make
right.
money to sell this stuff.
You got it. But you know what? Now, the whole world was afraid of this.
Yeah,
but Jesus is coming back. Damnation and doom is really coming, and that's for real. But we don't know the year. We don't know the second. We don't know the hour. We don't know the year. We don't know the decade. We don't know the lustrum. Nothing. We don't know what it is. All we know is that the second part of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter there, verses 20. Do you see that? Verses 20 through 24 that we just read? That has happened. Israel is brought back to the land of Palestine. They haven't been brought back to God yet, have they?
No.
What is the tribulation period for?
Christ.
bring them. God's got them in the land. Now bring them. Now make them repent. Once you can get somebody in church, the Word of God will have to deal with them, won't it?
Yeah, either accept or reject.
That's right. What's going to happen there in the tribulation period? The old crib. What's going to happen there? They're going to be in church. In real life church. Yeah. How many of them are going to reject?
I don't know.
Two out of three are going to reject. That's how many is going to die. You know that? I don't think any saved ones are going to die.
You know what's hard to fathom? I've never seen Jesus Christ physically, but we're going to be with him. He's going to be our ruler and reigner during the 1,000-year millennium. For that whole 1,000 years, he's going to be in charge. And at the end, Satan's going to be released and still going to be able to deceive those as much as Sam deceived those against him.
That's right.
I just can't tell
you. Yeah, that's hard, but today it's the same way. What do people say today? I said this one time. If you can prove to me a God, that there is a God, I'll serve him. I said one time. Well, the Lord proved himself to me. I don't doubt the inspiration of the Bible. I don't doubt the scientific facts of the Scripture at all. Why could you ever see anybody believes the Bible more than me? When it comes to stuff like that, I said, well, that's just the way it is. I believe it. And I was a skeptic. I became a skeptic going to school. But I believe now. I believe. But Israel is a skeptic today, but Israel will believe at that time. They will believe. And this 1,000-year reign? The world has always said, if you'll show me God, I'll follow him. People are out there searching and groping in darkness for God. You can't find him. My oldest boy, Jimmy, went down to see his mother-in-law ordained the other day. She's a minister now. How many of you ever seen there's a lot of movie stars in this religion. It's
Scientology.
Scientology. She's ordained as a minister in Scientology.
His mother-in-law?
His mother-in-law. Ordained as a minister in Scientology.
What do they do?
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
They believe in reincarnation. And this one woman, after they got up there, and they just brag on each other all the time. God is not mentioned because you're God. Each one of us are gods, as far as they're concerned. You know, that's what Satan said to the Eve in the garden. You'll be like God.
Yeah, but you hear what his question was on that? About he says even Christ will be walking on earth.
But they say that. They're groping in darkness for God. But during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, people aren't going to grope. They're going to see. Where is the bride of Christ going to be?
Yeah.
It's going to be up above the earth in a satellite in a city four square. All right? Yeah. New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Yeah. New Jerusalem's going to be up there in heaven. The Lord himself is going to be with his bride. Fellowshipping her, and every time the earth turns, maybe that thing goes shining all over the earth at the same time. I don't know. But it's the light. Like the sun is now, that's what it's going to be then. It's going to be the sun. God's going to be giving light. And on this earth is the nation of Israel being an administrator of God's kingdom in the earth. Every age, there are administrators of God's kingdom. What we call stewards. You remember what the word steward means? It comes from two old English words, sty and ward. What did that mean?
We're in charge.
What? Sty ward. Sty is a pen. We got a pig sty? That's a pen. Okay. Pig pen is a pig sty. All right. And a ward is somebody that takes care of something. Takes care of something. All right. And in the old, that's an old English word, and it meant to watch over the king's animals. You were administrators, You were stewards. You were bosses over the animals of the king, over his pastures, over his fine horse herd, his cattle herd, his sheep herd, goats, whatever he had, you were over them, over the pens. And you went around and made sure the little sheep shearers and
I thought it was going to be on earth.
It's going to be above the earth.
And they're going to see, see it.
New Jerusalem is for the churches of all ages. Okay? On this earth, Israel will be the steward over God's pens, God's people on this earth. They will be, God will not give rain on the earth unless they follow Him. There will be people executed, everything else, by the Word of God on this earth, and they can look up and see where He is at all times. And as far as I know, He's going to come down to this earth during the feasts and festivals and have the Shekinah glory of God, like the pillar of the fire and the cloud in the nation of Israel. That was the Shekinah glory of God. They saw it, and they're going to see it on this earth. They're going to see it there. But you know, remember this. Remember what Egypt was a type of in the Bible? Egypt's a type of what? The world, lost humanity. God went down into Egypt and pulled His people out, didn't He?
Mm-hmm.
And He brought 10 gigantic seismic plagues upon the nation of Egypt. What do you think the tribulation period is? Another time. Israel was in Egypt. God took her out by a man named Moses. His name means to draw out. Beautiful. But they were there. They saw the miracles. And every time that a miracle came upon Egypt, what did Pharaoh do? I'm sorry. Call it off. I'll behave. When you get in trouble sometimes, when a lost man gets in trouble, he calls upon God. But he doesn't mean it.
Well, you know, there was a statistic saying that during the Y2K scared a lot of people, the churches have gotten full.
Uh-huh.
And now they're over.
They're going to scatter. Yeah. Well, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. The churches have filled up because of that, but they're going to be emptied. Again. With unbelievers. There's a lot of unbelievers in church. People just come to secure religious prestige, to satisfy that calling that every man is called of God in Romans, the first chapter. You know, that every man has a conscience. People are groping the darkness and the false religions and the cults and everything else, trying to find God. God's there! In the same place. He's not no false religious system.
In the Word of God.
He's found in the Word of God, His truths. But what happens? What happens? What happened in Egypt? God sent 10 plagues, and finally Pharaoh went out there. And by the way, they think that that Pharaoh that they found, you know, King Tut, is that Pharaoh.
Oh, yeah?
That was the Pharaoh, King Tut. That's what I heard. You look at, they've got a picture of his face. Look upon that face that looked at Moses that didn't believe. With all the facts right before him. All the facts right before him, and he didn't believe, did he? All the glory of God. Now, that's not all. They left out of there. Moses went up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. He came back down. And Aaron had built a golden calf. What did Aaron tell Moses? How did this happen, Aaron? You're a goldsmith. What's going on here?
Well, he said he just...
He just threw this gold in the fire and out jumped this calf. Have you ever seen anybody? Have you ever seen that happen?
That was his brother.
Yeah, that was his brother. He saw all the miracles. He saw the miracles. Not only did he see them, he performed them.
Yeah,
he was the one that performed the miracles.
Yeah,
Aaron was. Aaron was the one that held Aaron's rod. Aaron's the one that threw down his stick it, it became a snake. Aaron did all that, not Moses. Aaron did. And Aaron made a golden calf for them to worship. Man, can you believe that? The thousand-year reign? And then what happened? Moses came down off there, and God divided the believers to the unbelievers then, didn't he?
Right.
Some of them came out of Egypt with all this treasure, all went through the waters standing on a heap, to the Dead Sea.
No.
They passed through the waters, but were all of them saved? Does everybody that passed through the waters of baptism, does baptism save you?
No.
Still going to burn. Some still burn, even when they've been baptized. They still burn. Baptism doesn't save. Baptism didn't save them. They went through. They were all baptized under Moses because of Moses through the sea. But what? Some didn't believe.
A lot of them were still carrying their old customs back when they were in bondage.
Right. That's right.
They brought their gods with them.
That's right. They brought their gods with them. Well, what a shame. Did they know God? Did they see Him? Was He visible to them? Was He there?
He was there and they saw Him and still here.
When Jesus was on this earth, how did He get crucified? He was God the flesh. Jesus walked on the earth that He created. He walked for about 33 and a half years on this earth. Remember, how many of you heard that the report that I did on Pilate? Pilate's letter to Caesar? How many of you heard that? None of you? I did that on Wednesday night. I read the last week I read Caiaphas' letter to the Sanhedrin. Historical files in the Arco volume. Pilate talked about all of Israel just being up in arms. The whole nation was just shaking the palace where he lived. I mean, their feet were stomping, the ground was shaking. He said the pillars were about to fall down, the steps of the Bema seat were just shaking and quivering like an earthquake. These people demanding the death of Jesus. And that was God. That was Jehovah in the flesh. Did they believe?
No.
Did they believe? They carried him out to Calvary and killed him.
They kept thinking they were getting a Messiah was going to come as a warrior.
Yeah, as the king.
As a king to destroy Rome,
yeah.
Whoever.
But the Messiah came. He did all the miracles, the messianic credentials. What was the most convincing messianic credential? That nobody had ever done, no prophet of old had ever done anything. Was it raising the dead?
No.
Elijah raised the dead.
Yeah, he did.
All right. Elijah. Was it healing lepers?
His resurrection.
Huh?
His resurrection.
Not so much the resurrection. They showed the resurrection in raising the dead. What did he do that nobody else had ever done?
Became flesh.
Well, God became flesh, but what miracle did he perform that was supposed to be the Messiah's messianic credentials of the Messiah only? And he did it a bunch of times.
He came to save him?
The one in the world?
You have sin?
What?
You have sin?
No. The word is toothlos in Greek. He healed the blind. Nobody but the Messiah ever healed the blind.
Physically and
physically.
And spiritually.
Nobody ever healed blind that was born blind. But you find out there were a lot of blind people healed in the Bible. Those are absolute messianic credentials. You know that Caiaphas says we know that this man has the power of God because he healed the blind. Blind people saw him. These are messianic credentials only. He healed the blind. Blind saw. Blind that never saw. Ever before. Never saw anything. They saw the first sunrise after Jesus. But Jesus was there. But how did he get killed if God in the flesh was there? How did he die? They rejected him. What about this tribulation period? You think that these people during the thousand year millennial reign of Christ, with Israel on this earth as his administrator, with God in his bride in New Jerusalem up there like a satellite, a moon or a sun above the earth, they're going to know there's God. just like they did in the land of Egypt, just like they did at the foot of Mount Sinai. How many people did God have to kill that came out of Egypt? How many of those people died that came out of Egypt because of unbelief? Huh? How many people made it into the promised land that came out of Egypt? Joshua? Okay. Let's go back to the thing. How many people in churches are saved? How many people really believed that left the land of Egypt?
Just two.
Out of millions. Out of millions. Two of them. Joshua and Caleb. Why did God allow them to go into the promised land? What did Joshua and Caleb do? They showed their faith.
They were the spies
that went into the land of Canaan.
They could take it.
By the way, let me share this one with you too. When Noah was asleep in his tent, drunk, laying down drunk. Laying down drunk in his tent, he had a son that went in there. He had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Which of them went in there? Which one of them went in there and dishonored him?
Ham.
All right. And God cursed Ham. He couldn't curse Ham directly, could he? Because if he cursed Ham directly, he would have cursed Noah. So he cursed Ham's descendant, Canaan, instead. And he said he will be a servant to my sons. You know when that was fulfilled? The Canaanites went into the land of Canaan and built the land up while Israel was in bondage in Egypt. That prophecy was fulfilled when Israel came out of Egypt and took possession of the promised land. He said, you're going to go in there and you're going to possess houses that you didn't build. You're going to have fields that you didn't dig rocks out of. How many of you have been in Israel? Nobody? Over there, to have a field over there, up in Fish Lake Valley, they had fences built out of rocks in some places up there. Because there's so many rocks out there in the fields, they had to dig the rocks out and then they make rock walls around the fields. And in Israel, it's the same way. They had to dig the rocks out of the fields. And they would put rock borders up around there. It was hard work. You know who did it for them? Canaan. The son of Ham. Prophecy. Beautiful prophecy. How could you beat that for prophecy? Something else, isn't it? How about Moses? Who wrote the first five books of the Bible?
Moses.
He wrote the book of Genesis.
Do you think
he was around?
No. I was going to ask you, how do you do that?
God told you.
So here you go. And he was up there on the mountain.
How much of a world traveler do you think Moses was? Do you know that you go in there in the book of Genesis and you find out where God populated all the world, the three sons of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and all of them went out and populated the earth? You know that Moses wrote down every place that they went before they populated every island in all of that whole area? Mm-hmm. How did he know that? Inspiration. He didn't know anything about it. God inspired him to do it. That's how he did that. That's right. He wrote those books. Inspiration. Something else in it. Inspiration. God inspires. What does the word inspiration mean? It means the act of looking in, being able to look in, to be able to see, the act of being able to see. Moses saw what God showed him. How about the ark? God told Moses when he came down off the mountain, he said, I'm going to inspire workmen to do what I told you to build when he built this, the Ark of the Covenant, and he built the tabernacle and all that. He said, when you go down there, you make sure that these people do exactly and make it according to what you have seen, what I showed you in the mountain. He saw it.
Same thing with John the Revelator.
That's right. John is the only time traveler in history. Did you know that? How many of you ever saw Back to the Future and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Time travel, a time machine and all that. I'm going to tell you something. There's one time traveler in the Bible, a real time traveler. And his name was John the Apostle. John the Revelator. God took John and transported him from the Isle of Patmos in time and space into the tribulation period that's yet to come ahead of us. John saw it with his own eyes. He saw it. Brother Libby.
I see a program on TV that they said in 1943 that we invented a time machine. Back there was some ship.
Oh, yeah, the ship.
I forget the name of the ship. They showed where all these sailors were embedded in metal.
Embedded in metal, yes.
Crazy or something.
That's called the Philadelphia Project. The Philadelphia Project. I knew a guy that was involved with that. I don't know how true that was.
They made a movie about it.
I seen this documentary on TV.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to really happen. But
they got lost in time.
No, they went into a different dimension. Is what they said. They went into a different dimension. And I'll tell you who invented it. It was a ham operator. His name was Tesla. Ever heard of the Tesla coil? Tesla. I think his name was Joseph Tesla. He invented stuff he was so brilliant that he invented stuff that they still, the government seized him. He was so smart, they seized him and put him down.
He made
all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. The weather warfare. You know that Tesla was going to electrify every house without having wires going through your house? How do you cook your food in your microwave? Do you put any probes in the food?
No.
Why? How could you cook food without probes? By microwave. You know the ham operators invented the microwave?
Right. Yeah.
That's right. And the fax machines and everything, the satellite communication, everything. They invented all those things, and Tesla was one of the grandfather hams of all time.
What did they stop it?
They did not want those things developed at that time. Yeah. They did not want them to develop. What?
The self-plane, the one you can't see through radar.
Yes. I'm getting into some deep stuff right now. I know a lot of things about different things. I found out a lot. You know Brother Hubbard? You remember Brother Hubbard? Brother Hubbard died. He died a year ago last July. His son-in-law works in Oklahoma at Tinker Air Force Base. Do you know what they repair there besides other things? Flying saucers. Really? I lived out by Area 51. How many of you saw Independence Day?
Yeah,
I lived out by Area 51. There's pictures of flying saucers all over the place. I know a guy, my wife met him. He was a naval intelligence officer. You know what his job was? To watch flying saucers.
Is there actually flying saucers?
There are actually flying saucers.
From where? Not from the other universe? From the other
here. U.S. has got them. What you see out there flying is 50 years behind what they have. You know, like little mushrooms, you're just kept in the dark. In a deep cellar, like little mushrooms. They expect us to be like that. The mass of humanity. The technocrats. Remember when we used to talk about the technocrats? The technocracy. These are the people that know how to rule the world, and they only allow you enough freedom that you think you have freedom and you think you're voting and all this kind of stuff with a bunch of baloney. if you voted somebody in they didn't want, they'd kill you. And they have.
Yeah.
But you see this, all of these things, all of this is really going on. But Tesla invented a lot of stuff. So did Farnsworth. Remember, they have documentaries on Farnsworth. But Tesla was going to electrify your house without you ever having to have electrical lines going to it. You were going to have a receiver. You know, when you have a television receiver, you don't have to have a direct signal. When you had the old antennas, the old antennas gathered the signal and put it into the television.
Yeah.
Do you know that if you go out here underneath these big electrical lines down here and put out a grid and just put it in your house, that you can run your whole house and more off of the electricity and the RF that's in the air?
You can hear
RF.
It.
Your microwave cooks by RF, radio frequency. That's it. It cooks by, it don't have to be touched. It cooks, it's bombarded by RF. You can electrify your house without a wire going to it by putting a grid out there and receiving the RF. Neat stuff.
I've invented that.
Neat stuff. It's all out there. Man's discovering what God already had anyway. You know that when you have meteor showers, when you have the northern lights, you know what the northern lights, you know what you're seeing? You're seeing the ionosphere lit. Right now they got weather warfare. Up there in Alaska, they've got a station up there called HARP that is bombarding the Earth with radio waves and charging the ionosphere. You know, and that's something else. And when Y2K, they didn't know what was going to happen because of all the ionosphere being all tore up and everything. Well, they're going a long time in there today. I guess I'll let you be. I'll let you go. I hope you enjoyed your class today. We covered a little bit of ground. You can give your cards to my wife and
catch it. Catch it with the radar.
Isn't that something though? A lot of stuff. We see so many things.
It's your new one.
No, not from other worlds.
Well, there could be extraterrestrials. The Bible talks about it, but they're demons and angels.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
If you see something out there that comes from outer space, why, the Bible talks about outer space things all the time. One of them landed in the garden.
Yeah? Yeah. One of them landed on the earth.
And took power of a Nahash, a snake's body.
Yeah.
And he did. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Hernando, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you, Father, and to praise you for the lessons you have showed us, Father, through your word, Father. And we pray that you continue to go with us as we go away, Father. Help us, Father, to reach out to others.